Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith.
My pastor is Pastor Dave Tejerina. You guys have had him here multiple times. I got saved at his church when I was 16 years old, and that's where I met my beautiful wife. February will be 19 years that we've been married. And amen, yeah. She has patience, hallelujah. And we have four daughters. I have a 24, a 22, 18, and 16. Amen. So I don't have no little kids at home, but having all women at home, it does things to you, amen. It makes you seek God a lot more, hallelujah, that's for sure. But it's a blessing, it's a privilege. Pastor Green, the Green family, they've endured a lot. They've gone through a lot, and he's a hero of faith that I do honor. And I text him and I told him, hey, thank you. You know, you're away and you entrusted me with your church, so I appreciate that. So this afternoon, I was really debating. I've known for a week or so that I was going to get to come here. Now I was like, you know, it's always like, okay, God, I really want to bless you guys and help and encourage so the thought that has come over me, one of the things that it's taking me time and walking with the Lord is sometimes I wish that there was a GPS, a spiritual GPS where you could just plug it in and it tells you exactly what to do, you know, as far as life goes. Because we know that wherever you're headed, the GPS is going to get you there. The GPS got me here this afternoon. I just plugged in the address and it told me where to turn, where to get off, and all that good stuff. But a spiritual GPS, I've learned throughout life that there's times that we go through things that sometimes we tend to jump the gun. We get ahead of ourselves. We move too fast and it's sometimes it's not beneficial for us. It hurts us. It makes us go through whatever we're going through a lot longer. It's like, why am I still going through this situation? I should have been done with it. But sometimes we tend to jump the gun, and as followers of Jesus, I think that there's so many scenarios biblically that we could look at, that we could get an understanding of what we can learn from that and how it can help us. And the reality is I definitely want to know the season that I'm living in. I definitely want to understand the thing that I'm going through, because it's going to help me in my prayer. It's going to help me in my direction. I won't get frustrated. I won't get worried. I mean, how many know that you get anxiety when you're praying and it's like, okay, God, where's the answer? Where's it coming from? You know, is this all that you have for my life? You know, has anybody ever been there? Amen. Yeah, we go through those things, you know, and I definitely understand. You know, I've been pastoring for 10 years and I, you know, I've seen people come through church and I see potential and I see that God is going to use their life, but people throw in the towel too fast. It's like, man, you're at the edge, and I know it sounds so cliché-ish, but you know, right before the breakthrough, it gets a lot harder. Right before the breakthrough, it does feel like God really, really doesn't have anything for you, and that's just a lie. We know that we were created as individuals that are special with a plan and a purpose. You were handpicked by God. You know, it's no coincidence. You didn't wake up. You didn't get to write it down in a book and say, I want to be part of this church and I want this type of ministry and I want this type of life. We didn't get to write that anywhere. It was God picking you and preparing you for where you're at right now. And we're all at different places in our lives. Nobody's at the same place. Some of us can share different trials and different things that we've gone through, but we're not always going to be on the same trial or situation. So it's definitely key understanding what we're going through. And this afternoon, the title of the message is Get in Position. Because you got to know what position you're in to be able to function in. You got to know where you're at to have an idea where you're going. Because if you don't know that, then you're just lost. Then you're just wandering around and not knowing where you're going to go. And it's very important this afternoon that you have an understanding. And the first thing, the first position that I want to discuss is the waiting part of your life. I dislike waiting. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a big fan of waiting. So on Sunday mornings, I am the last one to wake up, because when I wake up and I'm done, we're going. You know, so my wife, the girls, they all get up, they get ready. Well, two of my girls drive, so they're in the worship team, so they got to leave a lot earlier than I am. But I'm not a big fan of waiting. And in our spiritual matter, in our spiritual sense, when we think about waiting, and God has us in this place of waiting, you know, this place of waiting can get tiresome. This place of waiting can get burdensome. This place of waiting can get a little bit discouraging, because you're just there. You're like, okay, wondering, okay, when is it going to take place? And we see here that the place of waiting can produce something that God has intended. It could create this moment of power like it did in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5, it says this. It says, while he was with them, he declared, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait there for what my Father promised, which you heard about from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You can read that and say, okay, well, Jesus is telling his disciples to wait. And of course, Jesus is telling them, so they waited. But I need you to understand their state of mind. Their state of mind, it's a little bit defeated, because that was after Jesus was crucified. That scenario. Their leader had been crucified, and they think he's dead. So this is after the resurrection, and he's there, and they're all together. They're all together because, you know, that's all you can do when you're feeling down. It's like, I'm going to connect with the same people that I've been with. So they're all together. And Jesus is telling them, wait, I'm leaving. And they're probably like, wait a minute, we just lost you. You just got crucified. You're here. Why do you have to leave again? And that mindset is like, why do I want to wait here? But that waiting, I want to shine the light on that waiting. That waiting created an empowerment. That waiting helped them be in position to where the Holy Spirit came and found them where they needed to be, and they were in power. Because if there was no waiting, and they would have went on and did nothing, we wouldn't have had the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the blueprint for the church. And that's where the empowerment came. And then Peter preached, and then so forth. You continue to read in the book of Acts the healing and the things that took place. But all that was produced because they understood the waiting. They understood that they needed to wait. They understood that you don't go anywhere. This is where God has you, and God told you to wait. Because when it's coming, it's going to come. When the blessing is going to come, the breakthrough is going to come. And there's nothing that can get in its way. We get so worried. Oh, I got to go here to secure my blessing. I got to do this to secure my breakthrough. If it's from heaven, you ain't got to do anything. If it's from heaven, you just got to be in position and catch what God is bringing to you. There's nothing that is going to stop that. There is absolutely anything that is going to be able to block you. This is from heaven. This is from the Creator. I mean, sometimes I know that it gets so overwhelming. I just don't want to wait. Your pastor tells you, hang on. I remember Pastor David telling me when I was, you know, because I got married at 18, and he was telling me, Pete, why don't you wait? No. I know what I'm doing. You just finished high school. This is June, and I got married in February. No, I know what I'm doing. I'm done what I'm doing. Just wait. No. I didn't wait. I got married. And it was so hard in the beginning. Nothing, I didn't plan anything correctly. I knew what I just did what I wanted to. And luckily, grace and a wonderful wife helped us through. But trust me, waiting is an amazing part of the process of where God has us. Waiting is a place of blessing, of being mended. Sometimes it's good to wait. It's where God heals your wounds and you don't enter in into something else. And now you have extra baggage. Oh, you were hurt here. You didn't know how to wait. So you move on to something else and you go there. And now you got extra hurt. And now somebody tells you something and it rubs you the wrong way. And it's like, and now you're just going and going and going. And sometimes we just need to stop. I know we come to church and we hear you got to go and we got to go seek the land and the promised land. But there's days, there's times in our life where we just need to wait and say, God, I know that you have me here. I know you're going to bring me the breakthrough just like you did your disciples. Just like you did them. You gave them the Holy Spirit and that same promise is my promise. That same promise, that same blessing that is going to come, it's my blessing. So don't, if you find yourself in the waiting place, don't be mad at it. Don't get frustrated at it. Understand that that's where God has you. And I'm not condoning laziness, because if you're like, yay, he told me I don't have to do anything. No, I'm not condoning that either. Don't be lazy. Amen. Pray. No, it's a different message. Waiting is a blessing. The second position is desperation. The word desperation means a state of despair, typically one that results in rash or extreme behavior. Desperation will lead you to frustration if you don't know how to handle it correctly. Desperation will lead you into places in your life where you never thought you would be. Right? We've said that, I'll never do that. But desperation hits and all of a sudden, you're doing that. Desperation just puts you in a place where I have no choice. This is what I got to do. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to go seek help this way or do that. And we're there and we find ourselves there. And there's a story in the Bible that shows us, I'm going to show you two different angles of desperation. The first one, we're going to see a frustrated man that could have had way more promises but robbed himself because he didn't understand where he was and what God was doing at the time. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 and 7. 1 Samuel 28, verses 3 and 7. It says, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented over him and had buried him in Ramah, his hometown. In the meantime, Saul had removed the mediums and magicians from the land. The Philistines assembled. They came and camped in Shunem. Saul mustered all Israel and camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was absolutely terrified. So Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, not by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. So Saul instructed his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go to her and inquire of her.' His servants replied to him, 'There is a woman who is a medium in Endor.'" So what's going on here? Saul's biggest mistake was he never learned to have an ear for God. He depended on Samuel to tell him if you read his story from a young age, he depended on Samuel to hear from God. And that is dangerous, church. I only hear from God when I come to church. That's not a place to be. Our relationship with God is called a personal relationship. We need to be in communication with heaven. We need to be in communication with heaven. We have to be able to understand what Scripture is telling us. We have to be able to feel the Word of God speaking to us. Here, what Saul was doing was saying, "I prayed, but I didn't hear anything. So instead of praying, I'm going to look for another means." So he went to the mediums, what we would call sorcery, right? "I'm having a bad day. I'm going to look at my horoscope. The horoscope is going to minister to me instead of the Bible. That's what's going on. I'm going to go to Panda Express, break open a fortune cookie, and whatever it tells me, that's what I'm going to believe, because it's too hard to believe from God. That's what's going on. And we do that sometimes in life. We're having such a hard time, and we go elsewhere instead of God. But I prayed. But we don't develop the ability to hear from God. We don't develop the ability to have discernment. We don't develop that. And it's a scary place to be as a believer. As in early stages of scripture, right? We're fed like babies, and you know, the babies, they go through this process with milk, and then they go into solids. But it's scary when a believer, a mature believer that's been going to church for a while, is not in solids yet. And it's a scary part in your life, because now you're in situations, because we're all going to go through scenarios where it's going to be desperate moments. And we run that risk. We run that risk of I don't hear from God, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Because how many know that even in times of despair, God moves? Even in times of despair, God moves. I personally know that when we were newlyweds, right? I lost my job. We had two kids already, and a third one on its way. I was the only one working. That whole week, we had a revival. Back in the days, you know, church was okay 7 days a week. You know, it's frowned upon now, but. But back in those days, we had a whole week of revival. And now I had to show up to this revival. I'm one of the ushers, and I'm serving, and I have to show up with a smile. And it's a moment of despair. But I showed up expecting, and God, you're going to talk to me. You know, I need to hear from you, because I can, in those type of moments, right, with that saying, desperate measures, or something like that. I had the quote. I miss it. But you know what I mean. Desperate times require desperate measures. That's what the quote says. But we get ourselves into problems when we fail to really wait and hear from God. Here's the other example. Check this out in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 to 12. They're in despair. It says this. It says, "The Lord God of Israel, who rules over all, says to all those who sent into exile." So understand this. "The Lord God of Israel, who rules over all, says to all those he sent into exile." Man, that's messed up. Why would God do that? Because there's a process, church. Watch this. "To Babylon from Jerusalem, to build houses and settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and allow your daughters to get married so that they too can have sons and daughters. Grow in numbers, do not dwindle away. Work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord for it. For as it prospers, you will prosper. For the Lord God of Israel, who rules over all, says, do not let the prophets or those among you who claim to be able to predict the future by divination deceive you. And do not pay any attention to the dreams that you are encouraging them to dream. They are prophesying lies to you and claiming my authority to do so. But I did not send them. I, the Lord, affirm it. For the Lord says, only when the 70 years of Babylonian rule are over will I again take up consideration for you. Then I will fulfill my gracious promise to you and restore to your homeland. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayer." So here in Jeremiah, we see that Israel is in exile. God didn't send them to Disneyland. It was exile. It was a place where it's supposed to be of despair, but God told them, make the best of it. Plant, grow, increase, pray, be in peace, and bless it. Because even in times of despair, you can see the hand of God. But you got to know that you're in that type of season. You won't understand if you're not understanding that you're in that season. Sometimes some of us rebuke the devil when it isn't not the devil at all. It's God using circumstance to cause us to seek him. It's that devil. No, sometimes God is trying to get your attention. He does that. He does things to get our attention. Oh, I used to be a prayer warrior, but I'm not a prayer warrior no more because I worked 2 or 3 jobs. I used to be in everything in church. I used to show up. I used to participate. I used to come with this heart of wanting, but I'm so busy now. But then he turns up the heat and he puts you in situations where either you're going to run to him or from him, away from him. And we can't do that. We can't do that because if we know the history, they got out of exile. They got out of exile, but while they were there, they made the best of their circumstance. And you can make the best of your circumstance. If you find yourself in those times of despair where you know you're living paycheck to paycheck, but you're still able to tithe. You're living paycheck to paycheck, but you're still able to give somebody else a smile. You're living paycheck to paycheck. Your child is sick, but you're still able to encourage somebody else. Because that's what we're called to do. Especially in times like this, where you turn on the news and there's so much craziness going on. All on one side of town. Where it's scary. And I know that sometimes it feels like, what's going on? But just like the brother said, circumstance shouldn't dictate what God says, what how we feel, our faith. Circumstance shouldn't dictate none of that. Because if we stand on his promises, he is good all the time. He is perfect. He makes no mistakes. He is God. And that's the thing that we really have to understand this afternoon. The last position I have for you is the crying out position. And how many know that women don't have a problem crying out? It's okay. You know, women, they don't mind. But men, sometimes, you know, I'm not a man if I cry. Man, I've cried like a baby at the altar. I've cried like a baby in my prayer room. Because those are the moments where God is really tearing into me and helping me and showing me things that he needs to show me. But I used to come with the idea that I can't cry. I can't really. You know, if you have that idea this afternoon where I can't press in, you're only cheating yourself. You're only cheating yourself because you really need that intimacy with God. You know, I've read different articles where you know, even some of the music seems offensive to men that want to be strong. The article was Jesus is my boyfriend, you know, and these songs that I love you, men sometimes find it hard to say I love you, Lord. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The crying out place of our lives is the place where you and God are there and he's molding you. And many of us need to understand that we should be there. We should be at that place. Let me show you this scripture in Genesis 32, 24 to 26. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of his joint. He wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. There's an acronym called PUSH. Pray until something happens. And some of us, we need to be in that place of our lives. Our circumstance is not going to change till we pray till something happens. Don't get up too quick. If all craziness is going on, then you go into your prayer room and don't leave till something happens. Because let me tell you, when you got a hold of God, you're going to know that you have a hold of God. When you're in his presence, you're going to know you are in his presence. When you're there, you're going to know you have his attention. And I want to tell you this afternoon, church, don't despise that place of your life. That is the best place to be when you're in His presence and you're wrestling with God and you say, I'm not leaving here till you bless me, God. I'm not moving from here till I get my breakthrough. It's okay to be there. It's okay to be there through tears and mocos running down and everything. It's okay to be there. It's okay to be there because that's the place where God is going to mold you and remove things from your heart and is going to be able to replace things with empowerment, with vision, with direction, with an anointing, with the ability to understand what's the next move for your life. That is the place where you can do war. In Hosea 12:4, it gives us an understanding of what took place in Genesis. It says, in Hosea 12:4, it says, he struggled with an angel and prevailed. He wept and begged for his favor. He found God at Bethel, and there he spoke with him. He went in as a man and came out as a nation. He went in as one and came out more powerful than he ever went in. And we really, you know, it's not pushed upon. I remember when our church in Gardena was in the early stages, it was only eight of us. And we were in an 800 square foot building. And then Pastor David was like, you know what, guys, we really have to take prayer seriously. Because one thing that I learned from our pastors, man, that man did not mind praying. So he said, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer session. We were like, what? A 24-hour prayer session? How's that going to work? Well, me and other brothers, we were in summer. We didn't have work, right? We were young. And the idea of spending the night at church seemed kind of fun. So we're like, okay, let's do this. But we were able to get a hold of God for 24 hours. And just stay there and pray. And then there was a building across the street from that small building that they said that was empty. So the Pastor David was like, guys, let's go and lay hands on this building. We went to lay hands in the building. And 2 months later, we were blessed with the building. Because we did not move. He understood that we shouldn't move till something happens in our prayer. And that's when I understood, man, prayer changes things. Prayer births things. Prayer changes the course of anything that is taking place. If my life is headed down the wrong direction, prayer is going to stop it. If I'm headed towards destruction, prayer is going to stop it. If something is coming against me, prayer is going to stop it. If a door does not open, prayer is going to open it. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Here. In the crying out process of our lives. That's the pinnacle point. That is the place where something is created inside of us. That's why it's so important to understand. Not all of us are going to be at the crying out position. But those that are this afternoon, those that are that are feeling like, why do I feel the need to constantly pray? Because God needs you praying. God needs you praying for your church. God needs you praying for your pastor. God needs you praying for the leadership of the church. God needs you praying because something is going to take place. You don't know what it is, but all you got to do is be obedient to it and show up and pray and get a hold of God and say, okay, God, you give me this desire to pray. I'm just going to pray. You give me this desire to worship. I'm just going to worship. And by the way, sister, great worship. You're anointed. That's your ministry. You're anointed. You're able to usher the presence of God and just, man, I enjoyed worship in this place. You're blessed. The team is good, but you have an anointing over your life. Church, let's understand that, man. It would be a lot easier if we could just put that GPS up and okay, God, what do I do next? But there's so much in the Bible that teaches us that we could grab from the scenarios of it, whether we're waiting, whether we're in despair, or whether we're at that place where all we can do is just pray, because that's where the breakthrough is going to come. That's where God is really going to have His way with us. He came out strong as a nation. Could you imagine your next move? Could you imagine you're going to be the voice for your family? You're going to be that individual that is going to cause and stir something in your group, the people that you're connected with. You're the reason why others are going to become to know Christ, because you didn't move from the position God had you in. You didn't move because you stay there and God was able to just mold you or empower you. And now you're going to be able to see what God is going to do through you. Amen. There's so much more to your life. This afternoon, wherever you find yourself, don't be mad at God. He has you there for a reason. So do me a favor, don't be mad at God. And some of you guys, stop running from God. You know what you have to do. You know where you have to be. You know how serious this is. This is serious. The ability to lead others to Him, that's a serious task. We're talking about changing people's lives, changing nations, changing communities. That is the promise of this church. That is the promise that He has given each one of us. But we just need to know where we're at so we know what our next move is. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. If I could have the worship team make their way up. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. Maybe we could play something softly in the background. I don't know everybody in this place, and this is something we do at my church. And I don't like the idea of anybody leaving without mending their hearts with Jesus. By no means is this the last step, but this is the first step. So as every head bow and every eye is closed in reverence to God, if you're sitting in this place and you're saying, man, you know what, my heart, my communication, my relationship is just complicated right now with Jesus, and it's not where it's supposed to be. And you'll be honest with yourself this afternoon and say, you know what, I need to get it right. I've either backslidden and just done away with my relationship with God, or I just never had one and I'm new to this place and it's my first time here, or I just never had that opportunity. I want to pray with you this afternoon. So if you're sitting here in this place and you've never started a relationship with God, or you've backslidden and you're drawn away from it, and you'll say, you know what, that's me, preacher, I want to pray. And all across this room, just raise your hand if that's you in this place. All across this room, amen. Amen. Secondly, I want to give everybody an opportunity to pray. I don't know if you guys come to the altar or pray at your seat, but whatever you choose to pray, wherever you choose to pray, I want you to analyze where you're at in your life, what position He has you in, what place He has you in. Understand that God, any place He has you in, it's a perfect place for Him to work in you. Whether you're waiting, whether you're in despair right now and you got to make the best of your situation, or whether you're there in that place of crying out to Him, take these next few minutes and just get a hold of God and begin to pray. I invite you to come to the altar. If you want to come to the altar, I would love to pray with you and lay hands on people and just encourage you. But however you feel comfortable, if you want to pray at your seat or pray here at the altar, you're welcome to do. But take the next few minutes and just get a hold of God and see what He does. Father, we thank You, Lord. We exalt You, Father.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram @kirchurch.